We are beginning this brand new year with a brand new series that is focused on prayer. Now, I want to give you this disclaimer. I've given it to you before, but just in case you were wondering, I am not teaching a series on prayer because I have mastered it. So there you have that. Now, I am growing in prayer, and I have experienced the power of prayer in my own life, and I've seen it in the lives of others. And so here's what I know. I know prayer works, but I also know that my prayer life, it could use a little work at times because, well, life just takes over and things get hectic and we get distracted, and sometimes prayer gets put on the back burner, but prayer is too mission critical to the church. We cannot allow it to be on the back burner. We want to put it on the front burner. So that's why we're beginning this year the way that we are. I mean, intellectually, we know that prayer it's fairly simple. It's a simple conversation between a loving father and his child. But sometimes it can go on the back burner. We want to get focused. We want to get intentional this year about prayer. And here's been our plan. Here's what we're doing. We're discovering the power in the prayers of Paul. We're not looking at every prayer. There are a lot of prayers in Scripture, but we're looking specifically at the prayers of Paul because he prays a very specific kind of prayer over others. We call it intercessory prayer. But the second thing that we're doing in our plan, we're learning how to be more consistent and focused in prayer. Okay, sometimes we are all for prayer, but we stop short of being all about prayer. So we want to get more consistent, more focused in 2024. Number three, we are developing an intentional plan to pray for others. I don't know about you, but my default sometimes when I begin to pray is my prayers can become a little self-centered. Maybe I just kind of launch into the things that I need and what I want, and I forget the power of prayer, of praying for others. So we're not just going to be for it. We're going to be all about it. We're going to create a system, a plan for it. Number four, and this is the most important, we're deepening our relationship with God through prayer. Prayer begins and ends with God. It's all about Him. Prayer fuels our relationship with God, and it aligns our hearts and our minds with His desires, His will, His work, His purposes in the world, His design. And so we want to be about prayer. Now, here's why this is so important. And this is a principle that you can apply pretty much to any area of your life. And I know this is the beginning of the year, and you've probably got some areas in your life that you would like to see change this year. Well, you can apply this principle, and here it is. It is not going to be the big things that you do occasionally that are going to change your life this year. It's not. It's going to be the small things. The small things that you do day by day, moment by moment, that just build up over time. Those are the things that you do consistently, not occasionally, but the things that you do consistently, that's what's going to have an impact on your life this year. Now, you can apply that to any area of your life that you want, but we are applying this to prayer. Why? Well, because we're just crazy enough to believe that lives will change when we pray life-changing prayers for others. And so we're opening the Word of God, we're opening our Bibles to find these prayers that have been prayed and to pray those Holy Spirit-inspired words over one another, praying the prayers of Paul. The first week, we saw him pray a prayer over the Ephesians, a prayer for power. And the second week, last week, we saw him lead us in this prayer for strength, that we would be strengthened in our inner being. And today what we're going to see is a prayer that Paul has given us. You are going to walk out of here today with a very specific prayer to pray over others, a prayer of guidance. I don't know if anyone here needs a prayer for guidance. I know that I do. Maybe you do too. Maybe you know someone who could use right now in this season of life a very specific prayer for guidance. Well, we find this prayer in Philippians chapter 1, and we've invited one of our students, Alyssa, to come on up and to pray this prayer over us, to read this prayer from Philippians over us. And as she does, I just want to ask you, just take whatever posture you want to receive this prayer. You might want to kneel, you might want to stand, you might want to extend your hands with palms wide open, whatever it is for you. But let's just take a moment and receive the blessing of this prayer. Alyssa.
And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
And the church said, amen. Church, can we show some love to Alyssa? Thank you. Thank you. That prayer, that very specific prayer, was prayed originally by Paul. Now, Paul is writing a letter. He's writing a letter to the church at Philippi. And we know that Paul is imprisoned. We don't know exactly where he was imprisoned. Unfortunately, that's because he was imprisoned multiple times. But the best evidence shows that he's probably imprisoned in Rome, which would place this prayer, this letter, somewhere around 60 to 62 AD, by the way, would also place it pretty close to where he wrote that letter to the Ephesians that we read last couple weeks. He is praying over these people, and he is imprisoned. We don't know where for sure, but we know that he was imprisoned. This is what I love about the prayers specifically of Paul and these prayers that we're looking at today. These are prayers that were birthed in a season of Paul not being able to do what he wanted to do. I mean, Paul was a go-getter, whether it was for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. I mean, he was full on, all out. And I have to imagine that he was not able to do the things that he wanted to do when his freedom was taken away. I'm confident that he would have rather been, in his words, defending or confirming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He would have wanted to be traveling. He would have wanted to be sharing meals with all of his friends that he loved, those that he shared in this mission with. There were probably a lot of things that he would rather been doing than sitting in prison. And even though he lost his freedom, he didn't lose his power because he didn't lose prayer. And Paul prays. Maybe you're there. Maybe you're in that season where you're not able to do what you used to be able to do. Or you're in that season where just for right now, you just can't. You just can't do what you used to do. The prayers of Paul remind us that you can still pray. So Paul prays for the church at Philippi. And he begins by telling us in chapter 1 just how he feels about these people. Look at what he says. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this. Now, keep in mind, where is Paul right now writing this? He's imprisoned, but he's confident of this. I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. As he begins, you get this picture of just how much these people mean to Paul. So what does Paul do? He prays for them, but he doesn't just pray for them. He prays big for them. He prays a big, bold prayer that's going to change their lives. So what we're going to do is we're going to spend the rest of our time unpacking just three things, three specific things that Paul prays specifically for these people. The first thing that Paul prays for, he prays for what is best. Somebody say, what is best? He prays for what is best. Now, I love this prayer. Let's go back to verse 9 and see what he prays. Verse 9, he says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. I love this prayer. I read this prayer. I love it because I find myself in the place where I need to discern what is best. I have a decision in front of me, and I'm not sure what is best, and I need to be able to discern what is best. One of the things that I've always appreciated, I've been here at Oak Hills for 10 years, and I've gotten to experience this church being a church of prayer. Prayer first. And I know that because many of you have prayed for me and my family, and on a personal note, I want to say thank you for that. We need it. We feel it. We feel the prayer support that we have. But I've known this church to be a church of prayer. And so some of you will come up and you'll just ask, how can I be praying for you? And if you've ever done that, then it's likely that I've responded with discernment. Because that's what I need. I need to be able to discern what is best. I have decisions. I'll give you an example. Just this past week, our lead team got together and for the purposes of talking about how are we going to steward what God has so generously brought through your generous hearts and our radical generosity offering, how are we going to steward that for our mission to be disciples, to make disciples? How are we going to steward that right here at Oak Hills Church? How are we going to steward that in our city locally? And how are we going to steward that even globally? It's, I got to tell you, it's beautiful to think about all the things that God is doing, I mean, to the ends of the earth. Now, many of you will remember that last year, we completely wiped out all of our debt. God provided and he allowed us to wipe out all of that debt. You can clap for that. Now, the reason that we did that is so that we would be prepared and that we would be positioned when God calls us, that we would be prepared and positioned to say yes. So I found myself in a meeting where we were presenting different things that God is doing here at Oak Hills, locally and globally, that we could potentially say yes to. And it was beautiful to see all the things that God is doing in the world. It was a little overwhelming. I heard all the presentations. And at the very end, our executive minister, Greg Effinger, said, Travis, do you have anything to add? I said, you know what? I don't have anything to add, but I do need to pray Philippians 1, 9 through 11 right now, because we need to be filled up with the love of Christ to be able to discern what is best. Well, we're going to come back around to that conversation again, but that's the way that meeting ended that day. I'm curious how many of you have found yourself in a place where you needed to discern what was best and you weren't sure what was best. How many of you found yourself in that place? You weren't sure what was best. Okay, I do this for a reason. I want you to know you're not alone. I also want you to know that if you saw anybody not raise their hand, don't ask them for advice, ever. Because the first step of knowing what is best is knowing you don't know what is best. This is what I love about prayer. Think about this. The very act of prayer reminds us of two things. Every time we pray, God, you are 100% dependable. And God, I am 100% dependent upon you. Every time that we pray, every time we kneel, this is why prayer is so good for us and so important, is that we're reminded of that. We're reminded that we need the love of God to abound in us more and more with knowledge and the depth of insight. We need that, the very Spirit of Christ dwelling within us, so that we can discern what is best. You see, love and discernment, they are always connected. I saw an example of this past Wednesday night. Had the privilege and the opportunity to be with our Bible Land kids on Wednesday night. My job was to share God's story with them from creation to the fall to redemption to restoration. And they were all seated on the floor there. And so I kind of got down on their level and I started telling them this story, just kind of going through those movements. And I noticed that they were finishing my sentences. So I just kind of changed the cadence and just kind of left it blank at the very end. And so Christ died for our, and they'd go, sins. And they were basically preaching the gospel to me. Well, I tell you that because, first of all, parents, you're doing something right in your home. So thank you for discipling your children in the home and making sure that they know the love of Christ. And second of all, Bibleland staff, teachers, volunteers, you guys are killing it. I mean, our kids know the Word of God. And what I saw was that they were experiencing that the Word of God had been instilled in their hearts. But here's what else I saw. I saw that the love of Christ had been instilled in their hearts. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, what impact is that going to have on their being able to discern what is best at some point in the future? You know, when you step up and you serve in an area like Bible Land, or when you disciple your children at home, you know, that's not just babysitting, right? That's a discipleship opportunity to instill the love of Christ, the limitless love of Christ in their hearts so that they may discern what is best in the future. Same night, after I had an opportunity to be with the Bible Land kids, I got to walk across the street to our student center where our students have relaunched their student ministry on Wednesday nights. And I am telling you, that was fun. The place was packed out. The energy was electric. Listen, if you ever want to feel younger, just go hang out with these guys. It was like chugging a monster drink. I mean, just being in the house with them. It was crazy. But here's what I saw. As I just observed a little bit, I saw this team of student leaders, adults, young adults, and I watched them make sure that every student in that house was seen and included. Now, watching them love those students for at least a couple hours on a Wednesday night was special. But what I saw was they were instilling the love of Christ in their hearts. Now, I had the opportunity to teach that night about family, but those students walked out of there having experienced it because of those leaders. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that love, that connection, that community, Christ being instilled in their hearts. Imagine what impact that's going to have on their being able to discern what is best at some point in the future. The point is that love and discernment are always connected. So Paul prays for what is best. Paul, second thing he prays for, he prays with the end in mind. Somebody say, with the end in mind. Paul prays many times. If you're familiar with Paul, you know that there's this phrase that he uses, so that. Anytime you see a so that, you need to ask the question, so what? Okay? Now I want you to look at what he says in this next verse. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Now, we do not know the day or the hour of the return of Christ, of the day of Christ. But Paul is praying with a long view. Okay, he's praying with the end in mind, that they would be pure and blameless. Now, remember who Paul is talking to here. Who is he writing to? Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. He's writing to the saved church. So when he says, I pray that you be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, he's not speaking to the unbeliever. It's not as if he's saying, hey, you'd better be pure or blameless or else. No, he's speaking to these believers. See, the image is not so much like a guilty defendant standing before a righteous judge who's just waiting to bring down the gavel. The image is more of a bride standing before her groom to present herself pure and blameless. Paul is saying, I pray that you will be now what you will be then. Sanctified and strengthened through the love and the power of Christ, be now what you will be then, pure and blameless. Friends, what Paul prayed for them then, we need now. What was important then is important now. This is not the time for a church to be half-hearted, in it when it's kind of convenient, kind of faith. This is time for all in, sold out, wholehearted, faithful, pure, and blameless faith within the church. Paul says, be now what you are going to be then. Be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Be ready, because that wedding day is coming. Be prepared and be ready. Now, the third thing that Paul prays for, so he prays for what is best, he prays with the end in mind, and he prays for God's glory. Somebody say, for God's glory. Now, if you're, again, familiar with the writings of Paul and the prayers of Paul, this is not going to be any surprise to you. In fact, last week, how did he end his prayer? To him be glory in church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. Here, yet again, this is verse 11. Look at this. He's saying that we be pure and blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, I just find this fascinating because remember where Paul is writing from. He's had his freedom taken away. That could potentially be a very humiliating thing for one of the primary leaders of the Jesus movement to be locked up in chains. You know, I kind of wonder if he had thoughts about himself or how he might be perceived. Or maybe those people that he loved so much, he might have been thinking, man, maybe they're starting to have doubts because of me. You know, maybe they're starting to doubt what I taught them. Maybe they're doubting me. Maybe they're doubting their own call. There's so many things that he could have prayed for here about himself. And yet he ends this prayer for them, reminding them that all of it, the love, the discernment, being pure and blameless, what is it all about? Well, it's all ultimately about God's glory. Here at Oak Hills Church, every year, we get to join together with several different churches around the globe for something we call Sanctity of Life Sunday. It's an opportunity for us to celebrate the fact that we are made in God's image, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God knew us while we were being knit together in our mother's womb. And today, we've got some of our partners here just to celebrate their work in our community, because what they do is they guide others to discern what is best when they find themselves in a place of an unplanned or an unexpected pregnancy. And I recently heard a story of a lady who walked into a center looking for an abortion pill. She was a single mom of an 8-year-old. She was in her late 30s. Still fresh in her mind was the memory of multiple miscarriages, even a stillbirth. She'd gotten pregnant by a married man who told her, you can do whatever you want to do, but me and my family, we're not going to have anything to do with you or this baby ever. So that's what she walked in that day with. But there was someone else that walked in that day, a client advocate. And what the lady couldn't, what the single mom could not have known was that this client advocate woke up that morning and started their day with prayer, a very specific prayer, a prayer, Lord, will you lead me to someone today who I can lead to you? So they met at their appointed time. Conversation was not forced. But the Holy Spirit began to open the door to talk about how children are a blessing from the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit began to open the door even more, and the conversation began to grow. And the advocate who had prayed took their cue to continue the conversation and began talking about the limitless love of Christ. And the single mom began to cry. She had never heard about this love of Christ. She never experienced that kind of love. And the Holy Spirit continued to just fling the doors open, and well, the advocate began to present the gospel to her, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and right then and there on the spot, that single mom surrendered her heart to Jesus and said, I want him in my heart. In that moment, the Holy Spirit made that possible. Before leaving the center that day, the single mom told her new friend, can't believe that I walked into this place today expecting to get an abortion pill, and yet I'm walking out of here a different person. A single mom and her baby, their lives were changed forever because someone was willing to pray a life-changing prayer. I'm wondering whose life is going to change because you pray for them. It's going to be a classmate, maybe a teammate, maybe a coworker, neighbor, spouse, could be a friend, could be your child. I wonder whose life is going to be changed forever because you're willing to pray a life-changing prayer for them. Yeah, we're just crazy enough to believe that we're going to change lives because we're willing to pray life-changing prayers. And here's how we're going to do it together this week. Let's get really practical here. You can set a consistent time to pray the prayer that we've been talking about, Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Now, key word here is consistent. Right? It's not the things that we do occasionally that make any difference in our lives. We know that. We've lived it. It's the things that we do consistently. So set a consistent time to pray Philippians 1, 9 through 11 over yourself, over your church, and over others. Be consistent. Have a plan. Plan to take prayer off of that back burner and an afterthought, put it on the front burner. The forefront of your mind. There's a few ways that you can do that. Number two, you can join us on Instagram at 8 a.m. every weekday. We're doing that to be consistent. So we have an opportunity with an Instagram Live. We come together for a couple minutes every morning and we just pray. We just pray specifically. This week we're going to be praying Philippians 1, 9 through 11. So it kind of sets the time to come together with your church and to be able to pray. And then here's the third thing that I want to encourage you to do. Place your prayer card. Hopefully you got a prayer card when you walked in this morning. Place your prayer card in a visible place to remind you to pray. So this card right here, it's going to go on my dashboard because I will see it. Maybe even several times a day I will see this card, and it will be a reminder and a prompt to be consistent in prayer. It's really simple. You just put someone's name in there and you pray for them. Simple, but powerful. And if you had never surrendered your heart to Jesus, like the lady did in that center, if you've never done that, then today is the day. Before you leave this place, today is the day for you to surrender your heart to him. Because if you've not done that, you don't have that power in your life. You don't have that strength in your life, and you won't have that guidance to be able to discern what's best. So just like she did, she surrendered her heart. Well, we want to give you the opportunity today to do that as well. How are we going to do that? Well, we're just going to pray together. We're going to pray a simple prayer. I want to invite you to repeat that prayer after me. And then if today is the day for the first time you're praying that prayer and surrendering your heart to Jesus, I'm going to invite you to boldly stand right where you are. To encourage you, we want to celebrate with you. We've got a gift for you, a Bible for you. We want to connect with you because it's about walking this journey together. And so if today is your day, I want to encourage you to do that. Already in our first service, people stood and surrendered their heart to Jesus for the very first time. So let's pray this simple prayer together. Repeat after me. Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned. But I believe in you. Save me. Change me. Forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.